Hi, this is Ralph Sheepers of Primal Fear. You're listening to Focus on Metal.
Hey, Metalheads, Scott Thompson here, welcoming you to this week's edition of Focus on Metal. We're now deep into February, and the great new metal releases continue unabated for 2016. And with our lineup of guests for this week's show, this one is kind of turning into a celebration of current new European metal releases. So up first, you might have guessed from the beginning of the show, is an interview that I didn't think was going to happen, but we managed to pull it off. That is, of course, Ralph Sheepers from Primal Fear making his second appearance here on Focus on Metal, back on the show this week talking about their new release, Rule Breaker, and their follow-up worldwide tour. And then after that, we have guest number two. Yep, this is a two-guest week. We have Mark Fox, the vocalist for Switzerland's own Chakra. They just put out their brand new one as well. It's called High Noon. By coincidence, as I'm looking at those two releases sitting in front of me as I'm talking to you, I notice that both of them, their covers feature black birds of prey with yellow eyes. Total oddball coincidence, but hey, just figured I'd throw it out there. At the moment, I can't think of any clever way to kind of throw that into the show title. But anyways, between Ralph and Mark, this one, as I said, is turning into a kind of a European new release show. So hope you guys are going to enjoy that one. And I try to keep this as a total theme for the show. Even our track of the week is going to be, yep, you guessed it, another brand new European metal release. On February 5th, Rhapsody of Fire released their latest one called Into the Legend. This one is a follow-up to their 2013 release, Dark Wings of Steel, which, of course, we had Alex Staropoli on the show talking all about that one. And I'm looking at that going, 2013, like, holy crap, it was really that far back that I had Alex on the show. It just feels like it was last year. And, of course, that release marked the split between Alex and Luca Turilli's co-writing stuff with Rhapsody, where, of course, Luca went off and did Luca Turilli's Rhapsody, and Alex continued on with Rhapsody of Fire. So here we are, two releases into that whole endeavor, and basically the same cast of characters on this one as well. And the vocals of Fabio Leone are present once again on this release. And of course, this continues on with Alex's overall vision of kind of epic symphonic metal. So good stuff here. If you like symphonic metal, Rhapsody of Fire is definitely in your wheelhouse. And this one here consists of 10 tracks. If you get the limited digipack, you will also get an 11th track. So that's a good reason to get that. And of course, this is, as usual with most AFM releases, available in a whole bunch of different formats. So obviously, limited digipack, one of my favorites there. Regular CD version. They got a vinyl version, both gold and silver. And this is very cool, and probably by the time you're listening to this, I bet it's already sold out, but there is a limited edition box set, which includes a dragon statue, as well as the digipack. And I know that no matter how many times I've tried to snag one of those really awesome, super deluxe versions of an AFM release, they always seem to be sold out before I get one. But anyways, this again, another good, solid release. I think it really builds on what they were doing with Dark Wings. And of course, they had a great team behind here as well, and including had Meyer Applebaum involved in all the mastering. So, you know, usually anything that Meyer is involved with is always very, very cool stuff. And Alberto Braven, who's done a whole bunch of good stuff as well, he was the guy who was behind all of the mixing. Lots of orchestral stuff on here, different female vocals and choruses and all kinds of stuff, but also some really good, powerful, guitar-driven stuff as well. If you want to find out more about Rhapsody of Fire, go to rhapsodyoffire.com. You can also go and hit them up on Facebook, Rhapsody of Fire. So, you know, kind of look through the whole thing and trying to pick out a great song out of those 10 tracks to play for you. And fortunately for me, the title track, Into the Legend, is a pretty good representation of all of it. It's got some orchestral stuff in there, different voices, but also some nice driving guitar as well. So an overall good representation of what you can expect from the album Into the Legend is the title track, Into the Legend, off the latest one from Rhapsody of Fire, brought to us by our friends at AFM Records.
Hi, this is Alex Taropoli from Rhapsody of Fire, and you're listening to Focus on Metal. Enjoy.
Go track of the week, Rhapsody of Fire, off of their brand new one, Into the Legend. If you are digging epic symphonic metal, then definitely go out and grab yourself a copy of that one. So moving on, one album this year you absolutely must get yourself a copy of is, of course, the brand new one from Primal Fear. It's called Rule Breaker, released right at the end of January from our friends at Frontiers Records. And of course, I think, in my own humble opinion, every damn thing that Primal Fear puts out, a true metalhead should go out and grab and play relentlessly and as loud as possible. So the downside for us, from a selfish American point of view, is that whenever Primal Fear puts out a new album, of course, they are German metal heavyweights. And of course, they live in the German time zone. So a lot of times, trying to get an interview slot lined up and have a day job is a pretty impossible task. So when these guys did their original interview cycle for the album, basically none of the slots work for us. But in this case, Richie reached out to Ralph Sheepers and scheduled a totally off the beaten path interview. So the downside, of course, is that it was kind of a rush for Ralph and myself getting this one done, just kind of pull the curtain back a little bit. So you figure this poor guy, he's calling me at 11 o'clock at night his time. And on my side, I have just blasted through all kinds of traffic and bullshit in order to be able to come in here flying in hot and be able to get in and be on time for Ralph's call. So both of us are a little bit rushed in getting all this together. But fortunately, in the end, it all worked out because, hey, that's metal, right? So here is my latest conversation with the mighty vocal legend from Primal Fear. That, of course, is the one and only Ralph Sheepers. We'll be right back.
Mr. Scott.
Hey, Ralph. Good to talk to you again.
Hi.
Sorry to keep you up late here. I definitely appreciate the effort. So
I'm awake anyway, but I'm speaking way too much with students and interviews these days. I mean, it's also normal if you have a new release to do interviews. But, you know, sometimes you just think, okay, I'm just exhausted. Leave me alone. But it's okay. No problem now, because today it's not been that hard, but it's just been a day full of teaching and stuff. But that's okay. It's all right, Scott.
All right. Great. I definitely appreciate it. So obviously we're talking about the great new 11th studio release from Primal Fear called Rule Breaker. And one thing I love about it right from the start is the fact that you called it Rule Breaker. And instead of making it Rule Space Breaker, you actually put it all into one word, which doesn't really exist. So right off the bat, the title itself is a Rule Breaker. So good stuff there.
Thank you. Appreciate your words.
And obviously, again, I have to, in full disclosure, admit that I have been a long time huge Primal Fear fan. So every time you guys put one out, you know, it's one of those things. You probably had the same thing when you were growing up. You had certain bands that no matter what they put out, you just went, oh, you know, AC/DC's got a new album, I'm buying it. You know, there's that. And Primal Fear is definitely one of those bands that has always been on my list of whenever a Primal Fear album comes out, regardless, I go out and buy it. But the great thing is that all these years later, I have never, ever been disappointed by one of your releases.
Wow, that's great. Thank you very much. And I really double your statement about those bands when we were a kid.
Yeah.
Buying records, vinyl records, and being happy about every tone on the album, even if sometimes you have the thought this just could be a filler or whatever. Mm. You never thought it about like that, like a fan, you know. You always thought, yeah, every single tone, every single note from that band I really love and like.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely with you.
Yeah. And that's a good way to put it, too, because that's definitely something about your albums. There's nothing that ever has struck me as filler. And obviously, being the fan that I am, I even went out and I bought the deluxe edition with the DVD and everything just to like eke every last bit of satisfaction that I could possibly get out of this release. And again, no filler. Just everything is just a, you know, totally satisfying experience.
Yeah, I think it's the same way I'm thinking here. I mean, I've seen the footage of our video shootings just days ago because I got the album on my own the very first time and I saw the footage. And I really thought this is going to please the fans because there's nothing somehow which is getting boring from the music to the video footage we have. I think it's a great piece. It's a great piece of work.
Yeah. And the other thing I think that's amazing is that you guys are so incredibly busy. I mean, I just talked to Alex a few weeks ago about his stuff, and I talked to Magnus probably about 2 months ago about stuff he's doing. And, you know, Matt's always doing stuff with everybody. And it's amazing that you guys still, in the midst of all of that, are all grounded back to Primal Fear and can able to concentrate incredible songwriting effort to put out such great stuff.
That's true. I mean, for me, it is the priority number one, of course. As a vocalist, you have to be somehow giving your voice to one band and your passion too. I mean, I'm totally the one who will be somehow dying for Primal Fear.
Well,
I don't have the words right now. I'm a little bit exhausted, but anyway, you know what I mean. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm doing also side projects here and there, of course, because I'm also making a living in music, and sometimes it's not just enough paid by only by Primal Fear. But this year is a year full of touring, and also the release is out now, so it's quite a satisfying year here too. So I'm really happy what's happening this year with Primal Fear. Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, I definitely, you come across as like the main supporter. I mean, you are the guy that's got the giant Primal Fear tattoo on your arm. It always comes through as like, that's the guy.
Yeah, it's in my blood. I mean, it was a hard time for me back then when we found together, you know, the story about leaving Gamma Ray and almost being the part of Priest, which never happened. But I'm at the end, everybody's happy now, and everybody's somehow really happy how things turned out. And yeah, it's just very good. Life is amazing.
It is. It definitely is. And so, you know, lots of great stuff on this album. I think one of the interesting tracks for me anyways is We Walk Without Fear, because that one, it definitely has a different sound than most of the rest of the album. And it really has a lot of that kind of that symphonic elements and all of that. And was there any kind of story behind that song?
I mean, yeah, as always,
kind of story behind the song, but when I lean back on my chair in my studio and listen to it again and again, I just see so many pictures, no matter how or what. So I always leave it to the fans to somehow make their own story out of music too, because that's also what music is for, painting your own picture out of the sounds you get and you receive, and just making your own little picture or movie even in your mind what's going on. And as the song was written by Matt and Magnus, I have to really say they really sent me the song, and I absolutely fell in love with it right away. And it's also one of my favorite tracks on the album too, yeah.
Definitely has a, it's got that, I don't know what, it's that real European symphonic metal sound. But the other part I like about it is that it starts to get heavy, and you think that it's going to go one place, and then it goes somewhere else as well. And it just keeps you engaged the whole time. And I really like a song like that.
It's never getting boring somehow. That's true. Yeah.
I definitely like that. And another one that for the title alone, I really love is Bullets and Tears, because going back to your whole listener visualization, you just look at that title and you already start to have things in your head about, wow, what is that song about? You want to listen to it just to get what that title means.
True. Absolutely true. I'm with you. Absolutely. Yeah. I hear you. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I totally geek out on your albums.
You always already give answers to the questions you have. That's good.
Yeah. And overall, too, one thing I like is that I kind of like the heavier, faster songs. And definitely this release is great, because really you only have one ballad on it with The Sky Is Burning. And everything else is pretty much, just straight out, except for, of course, We Walk Without Fear, which kind of has its own other special appeal to me. But as far as for people that like just like a really fast driving album that gets you pumped up and just makes you feel alive, this definitely fits the bill.
Absolutely. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I think we have a certain kind of red line in the album too, and also have a pretty dynamic alternating vibe going on, and that's a good thing about it. Yeah, absolutely. It never gets boring.
Yeah. I always like how you guys sequence stuff, and although I think that a lot of Frontiers artists in general seem to do a pretty nice job of that, I really love the fact that I think a lot of the people that buy stuff off of Frontiers, they're not in it for that single song download, that they're like me. They're buying your releases and a lot of your label mates' releases because they actually want to hear the whole album.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So yeah, but nowadays it really works somehow like this. You put out teasers, like we did five pieces prior to our release, and you somehow tease the fans with it and make them even more somehow curious about what's coming next and what's on the album and so forth. And then that's also nowadays a good thing that you can tease the people on Facebook or on YouTube and everywhere and all those social media stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the advantage nowadays of those kind of things.
Right. So you mentioned, you know, when we were starting up, you talked about this year being a big year for touring.
Yeah.
Are you able to give any kind of details up right now about what you're planning on doing?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we are heading next week. We're heading to Barcelona to start our first leg of our world tour, which is going to happen in Europe for 4 weeks now. So we will start in Barcelona and do Spain, France, Germany, Czech Republic, Switzerland, Hungary, Austria, Poland, Belgium. And yeah, the major part is actually in Germany happening. And then we will be heading home the end of February. Like I said, the other guys are going to hop on Rock Meets Classic while I'm doing some productions here vocal-wise with another artist. And then we are heading to North America at the end of April, starting in Hartford at the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Going all over the place. We will be there 5 weeks. And yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to meeting you guys. I think you're hitting through the Palladium in Massachusetts, I think, in May. So I'm definitely looking forward to that because I've definitely, you know, I've talked to you a couple times. I've talked to Magnus a couple times, Alice a couple times. I think I've talked to Matt once. The only person I haven't talked with yet is Tom and Francesco. But I'm definitely looking forward to being able to meet up and say hi.
Yeah, you will meet them, no problem.
Yeah, and actually, I was joking to Alex when he was talking about trying to mix your tour with Rock Meets Classic and stuff, and I joked to him and was like, you're not going to even know like where you are by the end of the year. And he's like, yeah, pretty much, yeah. You're going to just be pointing me in an airport and saying, just go, Alex. So
yeah, it's true. I mean, this almost happened. I mean, now we changed plans a little bit. We won't fly home after the North American leg. We will fly directly to Japan because we have 4 or 5 days off, and then we will flying to Japan. The first initial thought was we'll fly back home to Europe to do laundry, pack it all back in and go back to Japan. But we're going to pack our old stinking stuff into a suitcase and fly to Japan straight away. Makes sense. And then there's also negotiations for Australia the very first time. So I really would look forward to go there for the very first time in my life. Mm. And also South America again is in negotiations. So it's going to be a huge and long touring year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, I can imagine that you guys, it just must be chaos when you play South America.
Yeah, it's chaos, but, you know, sometimes it's more chaos on small festivals. On big festivals, that's pretty much pro work, good people working there. Also on our tour, I mean, when you go to the clubs, they now know what's going on. I mean, it's been different 20 years ago, but now they really know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. I wish that American fans were just as devoted and rabid as they are in South America or you know, and how dedicated they are and consistent they are in Europe, you know?
Yeah, they're positive. They're really positive heavy metal maniacs.
Yeah.
It's like South Europe is, you can really compare this to Spain. This is also very positive maniacs.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've got a friend of mine that lives in Spain, and that's one of the things he comments on too, is that, and I miss that, you know, the missing to be able to do the conversation with fellow fans and things and just you just kind of feed off the everyone's energy around you and stuff. And I'm definitely envious about other scenes in the world.
So, yeah, I mean, why not doing it in America too? So just bring your buddies and your friends and we will make a huge community again.
Yeah, that's definitely what we're trying to do. I know that, you know, we have a lot of listeners in Europe, so they always love to hear when I talk to you guys. But part of the whole thing too is really letting America know about all these great bands that are out there that, you know, they never get played on the radio here and stuff, but they're really the people that are worth listening to. And that's why I love talking to you about Primal Fear stuff and,
thank you,
and all your bandmates, you know, with all what they do. But, you know, for me, I also think it's great that, again, every time you guys put something out, it's just like, oh my God, they did it again. I cannot believe it.
I really appreciate the words.
Well, great. I'm definitely very happy that you were able to just give us a little bit of time today. I know you had a long day and you had a long couple of weeks, and
yes.
But I definitely appreciate being able to get at least a little time with you.
Hey, I'm also appreciating you guys promoting us. I mean, it's also a nice move from you guys. So it's all good. No problem.
Right. Awesome. So before I let you go, if you could just let everybody know that's listening, you know, we're online. If they want to know about tour dates, what's going on, or they want to get a hold of you guys, where should they go online?
Yes, I mean, our homepage is www.primalfear.de, and there's also a tour section where you just can click and choose your favorite city you would like to visit us, and we'll have a beer afterwards, no problem. Just come around, and I'm hopping off stage after the show, and then we'll drink a beer together, no problem at all.
Awesome.
And on Facebook, we are also the Primal Fear official site. It's also online, so check this out for news. And yeah, hopefully see you around.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to the May show. That is going to be awesome. And also, I should mention that I love the packaging on the deluxe version. And I love when I pulled the booklet out and you got that great big "The End Is Near" sign. And I just thought that just made my day when I saw that. That was so cool. And I just kind of had this vision of you guys at the, you know, like on the encore, like that comes down as a banner behind you or something. But cool stuff.
Awesome. Cool.
All right, Ralph. Well, I'm looking forward to talking to you in May, and always looking forward to talking to you when you guys give us great new Primal Fear music.
Thank you, Scott. See you there, right? And have a good time and stay healthy.
I will. You too, Ralph.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
That Ralph is off to bed, and we are getting ready to go on to our second guest of the show. But before we do that, just to remind you, definitely go out and pick up the brand new one from Primal Fear called Rule Breaker. Great use of your limited metal dollars. And during that one, we did play you a couple of samples off the album, kicked it off with the track In Metal We Trust. Also played one of Ralph's favorites off the album, We Walk Without Fear. And we wrapped it up with a brief sample from the final track of it called Raving Mad. And if you are going to get yourself a copy of it, and again, I recommend you go out and get yourself a physical copy of this brand new one. Try to get yourself the limited edition digipack as well, because that one gives you two bonus tracks, Final Call, as well as Don't Say You've Never Been Warned. And then there's also a DVD included on there, which has videos of Angels of Mercy, The End Is Near, as well as a making of the album. So good stuff there. And again, big thanks to Ralph Sheepers for staying up and talking with Focus on Metal. So our second guest this week also stayed up late to talk with us, only in this case, I caught him at the end of a scheduled day of interviews. I'm talking, of course, about Mark Fox, the returning vocalist for the band Chakra. Just put out their brand new one called High Noon on AFM Records. And if you're not familiar with Chakra, they are from Switzerland, and they kind of blur the line between hard rock and metal. They have a sound that all around appeals to fans of both genres of music. So I figured it was time to sit down with Mark Fox and talk all about Chakra, their brand new release, how things are going in the band, tour plans, all that good stuff. And of course, in true Focus on Metal fashion, play a few samples off of the album as well. And what better way to do that than to start it off with their lead-off single from the release? They called it Hello. great reintroduction of Mark Fox into the band. I think that was a great marketing idea on their part. It's also the first track on the album. So why don't we let Mark Fox and Chakra say hello.
Hi, this is Mark from Chakra, and you listen to Focus on Metal. Hello, Scott.
Hey, Mark. How are we doing?
I'm fine.
Awesome.
Oh, I hear really good. That's cool. Because sometimes with Skype, it's horrible.
It is. Yeah, I know. A lot of times, especially if people are on cell phones, it's pretty miserable. But
I'm on cell phone, though.
You sound awesome on cell phone. I can't believe it.
Yeah, but it goes over VLAN. So.
Cool. All right. Well, it's great to talk to you. Let's just dive right in.
Okay.
All right, on the line today, I have got the one and only Mark Fox. You may know him from Chakra. They got a brand new album out on AFM Records. It's called High Noon. How are we doing today, Mark?
I'm fine, thank you. It's a little bit late for me, but it's no problem.
Yeah, see, I'm just the opposite, where I'm like, oh, crap, yeah. I got to fight traffic. I got to get home in time to give him a call. So
so after this interview, I go to bed, you know. Yeah. But it's no problem.
Yeah, I've had the opposite, too, where I've talked to some folks on the weekend in Europe, and it's like getting up at, like, you know, 3 or 4 in the morning to talk to them. But it's like, yeah, whatever, it's worth it. It comes around.
It's no problem, yeah.
Yeah. So great, great new album. And, of course, everyone, you know, is talking about how great it is with you on the album, and seems to be a big push behind that. And certainly the songs are definitely rocking. And I listened to the album, and one thing I think about is how hard this album must have been to sequence. You know, the single right off the bat, I mean, that hits you hard, gets you right in. High Noon, same type of thing, into your heart. So it's like bam, bam, bam. And then Around the World is like a really different song, and you build off of that. And then after that, you kind of have a kind of a mishmash of different tempo songs. And I just listened through, and I'm thinking, you know, what kind of exercise did you guys go through to try to figure out sequencing on this one?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just fun. And I think it's yeah, it sounds a bit crazy, but it's like making what you want, you know, what's inside of you, and turn it out. And that's the best thing to do it.
Yeah.
And now we have a lot of motivation, and because this is really like coming home for me, and for the guys too, because this was a break for 6 years. I've not been in the band, and I came back, and now it's really like, oh yeah, let's want to know it now.
Yeah, it seems to be a unique thing in the history of Chakra, where it seems like like the milestones are in the band is when you came in to the band, and then like again, this album stands to be the new milestone for the band as well. And I mean, how does that feel to you?
Yeah, great. Of course, great. But yeah, but you know, it's a lot of work, and, and it's a great feeling. After we worked on that since 1.5 years now. It's not like yesterday we saw us on the street and then we said, come on, we go to the rehearsal room and then we make a new record. So, and if you have, this is really like working 1.5 years for, we want to make the best record we've ever made. So this is one thing you ever say but for every record you make. But it was really like high noon, you know, it was like, now we do it or we won't do it.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, it's time now. It's not, and I think this is a good sign. It's really like, coming back together after all this stuff that happened and making good music. This is really, something that happens not often, in this world nowadays. You don't have happy news. You always have the bad news. And I think this is a happy news. And I'm more for the happy news, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. And, you know, one thing that struck me on this album is that, I mean, for one, I really love the production. It's very punchy. It's very in your face. Yeah. And it sounds awesome. But I think what makes this stuff stand up to me even more is that, is about the third or fourth time listening through, I was imagining how these songs would sound completely acoustic in my head. And they still sounded in my head acoustically great. Like it's almost like, to me, it sounded like you guys sat down with acoustic guitars and hashed all this out and went, yeah, now this is going to sound so much better when we just crank it through electrically. But I think acoustically, this whole album would stand up just by itself.
Maybe we didn't work like that, but it's always like that. If a good song you can play on acoustic,
yeah,
and then it sounds good. And if you write a bad song and it only works on hard guitars, then it's not a good song.
Yeah,
but it's not my philosophy. That's someone said that years ago.
Yeah, and that's kind of a thing I listen to with songs, because you know, because definitely you have some songs where that riff or how you do that riff and things is really based on, you know, technology behind it. And yeah, maybe you can't do the ping-ponging of the stuff at the beginning of Around the World on acoustic, but you know, otherwise it sounds, the riffs sound like they could be played really well on acoustic. So it just makes the songs that much better.
Of course. And then I think on this record is lots of blues in it. We often have blues in it, but I think this is really one of the Chakra albums that is most bluesy.
Yeah, I definitely, like Eye to Eye is definitely I mean, that was like, oh yeah, that's a bluesy tune right there.
I really like that. I'm not so into really heavy metal. I'm more hard rock. a hard rock type, so mm-hmm. this is yeah, with that voice you can sing really the heavy metal things. You can sing like AC/DC or something like that, but that's the music I like and I love.
Yeah,
and,
well, even like Is It Real is kind of got a real AC/DC vibe to it.
Yeah, you can say that.
You know, with the way the drums go and the bass behind it, and it lends itself to that kind of AC/DC vibe. But I, you know, one thing that's cool is that this is an album that really does bridge the gap between metal and hard rock. That it really would appeal to either one of those camps pretty much equally, because there's something there for everybody.
Yeah, I think so too. So there are influences from, because our main songwriter Thomas, he's very influenced from metal bands too, and but he likes AC/DC and stuff like that too. So he's really like making a riff that is in between that, mm-hmm. because it's much more. I don't know. It's he likes it. We like it. It's just that thing, you know. Just like what you're doing, and if you don't like it, don't do it.
That's it. That's right. Yeah. If you don't like it, people are going to tell. Yeah. It definitely has that nice bridge of it. And I think, you know, hard rock is really, you know, you think about all the classic, like first four Aerosmith albums. I mean, they're all riff-based albums. And this doesn't really sound that far away from that type of a riff.
Yeah, of course. These are influences from our songwriting, for our songwriting, because these are the real songwriters. Mm-hmm. You know, the old ones, me especially, Led Zeppelin, and stuff like this, I really like it. And Thomas is coming from a Saxon and stuff like this. You know, and there's also Tom, he's doing songs. And everybody has his influences. They are not far away from each other, but there are some differences.
Sure. No, and that's what makes it better.
That is the mix that makes it.
Yeah.
Because they know if they're making a riff, they imagine how he would sing, how I would sing that. Right. And then they decide, okay, I do it that way because he's going to sing it like that. So.
Yeah, that's always, I think, probably one of the hardest things in the band. Like, you know, when my band, we were writing songs, like I would sing half of them. So if I was writing the riff, I would write it the way that I figured I was going to be phrasing it behind it. But, you know, if I had the drummer singing it, it was always a different thing of like having to work around them and stuff. And it always is kind of a give and take, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. You know, as far as actually writing this whole album, like what kind of time frame was that? Did it take about a year, or did it take the whole year? Were you doing it that whole year and a half, or?
Yeah, the songwriting was about I would say about a year. Mm. Yes, and then the recording was about 5 months. So, but the recording was not after the songwriting, because after the songwriting we had to arrange that the stuff. Yeah, for us, the songwriting is like making. Verse and chorus, right. And then it's finished. And if the song is okay and good enough, then we go into the next step.
Right.
But only if we have enough songs. So we wrote about 13 songs. 30 songs, not 13.
I was going to say, wow, you used almost all of them.
No. and then we had my friend Chris Fonderor, who gave us a good advisement to choose the songs, because there are a lot of more. And if you are in it, you can't decide, because right. they are all your babies. You won't decide, oh, you're going to die, you're not. And you know what I mean? So it's good to have someone who's not into that process.
Right.
And he has an objective view from the things, and I think it's a. We never did that before. Mm. We always choose ourselves. Surely it was good, but I think it's better now.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, sometimes just having that outside objectivity makes you realize, like, a song that maybe you didn't appreciate before makes everyone go, "Wow,
yeah.
All right, you know, yeah, you of do course. Get close to it." So it sounds like you do quite a lot of pre-production before you actually go in the studio.
Yes, we did. But that's always like that, because it makes no sense for us to go into the studio and the songs are not finished.
Yeah.
You know, that makes no sense. Of course, it's Tom, our lead guitarist. He's doing the production and he's doing a very well job. He's a great man. Mm-hmm. We don't want to go there and, oh, what should we play now? And no, we have to go there. We have our final product, but we have to record it. Mm-hmm. That's the way to do it, not to hang around there.
Yeah.
And smoking joints or something.
nobody has Zeppelin kind of money to be like, yeah, we'll just go in a studio today and screw around for the day.
ACDC with it was Black Eyes, I think. We took about 5 months in the studio because we had no songs, and but I don't believe that, but I heard that.
I love the album cover too. The album cover is definitely something that, you know, if this was the days of being able to flip through album racks, that's definitely one of those ones you'd come up to and be like, wow, what is this? Just the, you know, it's so dark, but then with the yellow eyes coming out, just really, it's definitely something that grabs your attention.
Thank you. I made it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like it. I think it's pretty cool. And like I said, it's one of those ones that just, yeah, I don't know what it is, but you're drawn to it. Maybe it's that human thing of being drawn to eyes or something, but it's definitely a very cool cover.
Yeah, thank you. Because the reason of this owl is High Noon is something like being on the same island. You know, this was really the main thing I wanted to show on this cover, and so watching through these eyes, and then or perhaps it's I play too much Angry Birds. No, I really like it because it's something else, and it's not like other bands doing all that brutal stuff. I don't like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, it's not so cool, I think, to be in hell. So,
yeah, there's enough of that going around just as you're walking down the street. So, yeah, definitely. So, of course, a lot of people always want to know, especially our European listeners, when, you know, we get bands on, is any kind of tour plans in the works you can talk about? I think you got some dates coming up in March, don't you?
We can, the tour begins in March on the 18th, but in Switzerland. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do some cool clubs here in Switzerland, like the Z7. This is the first one. This is one of the biggest, no, it's the biggest in Switzerland. As a club, mm-hmm. not the Hallenstadion. You know the Hallenstadion? No, you don't know. And then it goes on. And then we have some dates in Germany. We have some dates in France. We have some dates in Spain. And then, of course, the summer festivals are coming. There are big ones in Switzerland, so 2 or 3 ones, really big ones we play, mm-hmm. in Germany too, in France. And we hope to come over to you, to US, but there's no plan till now.
Yeah. No, I understand that. The economic realities definitely hit when you decide to come across the pond. So yeah.
Yeah, there have to be 10 dates or something that really can happen something. Because if someone says, "Hey, come and play," it's so expensive. Yep. No one can pay that.
That's right. Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I absolutely agree with you there. Yeah, even just living here, and if you try to do a tour, it's damn expensive. So yeah, I'm 100% with you on that. But it's kind of amazing too, the fact that you know it's almost like old school. You guys are dropping this album the first week of February, and by March you're on tour. I mean, that's like old school 70s kind of calendar right there.
Yeah, we want the people to know the songs before we go on tour. Because it's always not so cool staying on stage and playing a new song and the people don't know it and they are really like, no, they like it, you know, that's not the problem, but they can't sing along, they're right there and watching you, what you're doing now. And it's much better if the people know know the songs, and they are with the whole thing.
And that brings up my next question is, you know, what do you think you guys are going to be doing for set list? You're going to lean heavily on this album and maybe touch back on some of the other albums that you did?
Yeah, we make a kind of best of, but we have, now this is the 10th studio album.
Yeah.
And we have 9 songs from the new one. So this is pretty
much almost playing the whole album.
Yeah, almost, yes. And of course, we have from every album, we have something on it.
Nice.
But also from the time I was not in the band, we have 3 songs. So we really try to make the whole thing that makes Chakra.
Hmm.
Not even, here's the new record. And of course, we want to promote that. But,
right.
We want to give we have all the songs like Rising High or stuff like that. You cannot say no, we don't play Rising High. It's not possible.
No, that's good. I mean, that's something I think a lot of bands today don't do, is put out a new album and then play so many songs off it. You know, I look at a lot of the bands I talk to, and they might have a new album out, but they may play only 1 or 2 songs off of that new album, even if they don't have a huge, you know, back catalog. And, you know, if you guys having 10 albums to draw from, I mean, that's quite a big back catalog to draw from. But to actually have that many from the new one, that's almost unheard of for a band nowadays.
Yeah, we thought about that, how much songs, and we wanted to decide which ones, and it's almost every song we could play. This is really, it's like you make a record, and then there are songs you can play live that they are not like on the record, you know, it's not made for live. But on this record, it's really like almost every song is made for live.
Yeah.
And that's makes it hard to decide which one. So you take more. And perhaps one song works better live and one song works not so good, so that can change.
Sure.
You know. Yeah. But for the start, we're gonna do it like that.
Yeah, no, that's true, right? I mean, you can have plenty of other things you could swap in there if you want, but it also says a lot about what you guys feel about this new album as well, that there's that much excitement about the material, and that's got to translate live too.
Yeah, of course. So we are really, I have to Google that word. Sorry. And I should know it. Proud, yes, yeah. How could I forget? We are real proud of that one, what we made. Not only of the product, the whole process we made through. And I think this is the motivation. We never were so motivated like now. This is really like wild and hungry, you know?
Yeah. And I also think, too, it's a good time for an album like this, because there's a lot of people that are going back and looking for like this kind of an album that has music that makes you really feel good listening to it. You know, you talk about it's not so much fun being in hell, and there's been so many years of people down tuning to C and, you know, guttural vocals and, you know, all of that. And a lot of the good feeling you get out of music has been gone for a long time. And there's a lot of people that miss that. And this album definitely fits the bill of an album that you know, you can put on, and it really does make you feel good. This is almost what I would describe as one of those albums that typically would come out like June, July. It's got a real like summer feel to it.
Yeah, of course. But we don't decide it. It's in Switzerland, it's Universal and AFM in the world. So right. They decide when we come out. So if we're finished, then okay, they go out with it. No, it's not like that. We were really thinking about when to release that album, and we don't want it to wait. Mm-hmm. No, we want it to show it now, because it's finished, everything's done, it's cool, and so go for it. Not waiting 5-6 months, and then you're not in the same mood, you know.
Now
it's going step by step, you know. The album comes out, and then tack on tour, and then tack, you know. It's just really this is rock and roll, not waiting. for what waiting?
So, of course, I got to ask you the hard question, and I always think it's singers that I think get the closest to songs in general. But when you look at the 12 songs on the album, I mean, right now, what's the song that really stands out to you that you can't wait to bring out live?
For me, it's High Noon. Like that song, because it's crazy. When we made that song, it was really like, is this okay? Is this not okay? I was really like shaking if this is the real song.
Mm.
And I don't know why, but after two or three time listening, this was really like in the head.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, I can't explain that feeling. It was really like, oh, okay, this is a song that grows,
yeah,
in your mind. I also like, Eye to Eye or Wild or Hungry, of course. They are really directly, you know, that they go into your head directly and they're in there. But High Noon had a little bit longer.
Yeah, it's definitely a cool song.
But he's standing. He's still standing.
No, it is, you know, because, I mean, Hello comes on so strong and you're like, all right, you know, and after that you're thinking, all right, that's probably the real powerful single. It's really, you know, hitting you hard. And then High Noon comes on. You're like, uh-oh, the stakes just went up again. And that's how I felt when I listened to it anyways, is I know you guys have done a lot of work, you know, with the video with Hello and really promoting that and putting that out there. It was nice to see that single as the first track. But Jen, just being really surprised with the title track, it just being so strong. And like you said, it sticks in your head. And then on the back end of it, of ending it all, Wild and Hungry was another song that I think was just as strong as the first two that opened it. So if you just listen to this whole album one after the other, I mean, you have a great start and you have something at the very end that if you listen to nothing else the rest of the day, that song is stuck in your head as you leave too. So, very strong top to bottom.
Yeah, thank you. Man, I think it's really, I can say, one song that is for me is, oh, I won't play that or I won't sing that.
Mm-hmm.
This is really, this is not, it's not so often that that happens.
Yeah.
Because I had this on almost every record. I had that feeling, oh, this song, it sucks. After a while, you know. but that is really, till now, there is no song that sucks. Nice. And that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so of course, want to let people know where they can keep up with you guys. So as far as online, where's the best places they should go to keep up with what's going on with Chakra?
Best places are Facebook, of course. That is facebook.com/chakraband.
Okay.
One word. That's one place. And the other place is chakra.ch.
Awesome. So there you go, guys. You know where to go. You can keep up with that. And I believe you guys have tour dates posted on your website. So,
of course, yes.
There you go. So you can get all your Chakra information there. And hopefully you'll keep staying for many more albums and give us some great music. Great. And I was glad that I was able to slide under the wire today and get your final spot for the day. And so that was like, oh, great. But it's been great to have you on the show, and I look forward to the next one as well, so we can have you come back on again.
Yeah, every time.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
We'll call that a plan, Mark. All right. Well,
okay.
I got to remember, it's have a good evening, and go get yourself in bed and get some sleep, and thanks again for coming on Focus on Metal.
Have a good day.
All right, Mark.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
There is my conversation with Mark Fox from Chakra, and of course played a few samples from the brand new release High Noon for you there, ending it off with the last track on the album, Wild and Hungry. And in true AFM Records fashion, that one also has a limited edition deluxe fan box available, and that one includes not only the actual album itself. You've also got a Chakra flag, a postcard, and a certificate of authenticity. As I'm looking at it right now, that one is still in stock on the AFM store. If you don't know where that is, you can head over there at shop.afm-records.de. Good place to shop for a lot of metal releases. And as I think back, it's probably about 3 years ago now that they redid all that shop, redid a lot of the shipping cost and all of that as well, made it super easy to be able to buy that stuff from all around the world right from the AFM web shop. So again, that is shop.afm-records.de. rhapsodyoffire.de. So while you're there, you might as well pick up the Rhapsody of Fire one as well. So again, big thanks for both Ralph Sheepers and Mark Fox for staying up late and talking with us here at Focus on Metal. And we have had a lot of people talking with us lately. I know that I joke with Richie about, what, 2 or 3 weeks back about the calendar looking pretty blank. And true to form, it is packed. I have got interviews scheduled all the way through the beginning of March. And that doesn't even include the ones that Richie is arranging as well. So just out of nowhere, we just have a ton of interview traffic coming in the show. I guess that's a good thing. I guess a lot of record companies and PR companies are counting on us to get the word out on releases. Plus, a lot of artists want to come back on as well. So lots of folks want to be on. Lots of folks want to keep listening to the show. So I guess we're doing something right, or at least I hope we are. And speaking about doing something right, also want to point out all of our fellow shows on that loosely knit association called the Blast Syndicate. Just a reminder that a bunch of shows that used to be part of the Cast Iron Ring are now part of another metal brotherhood called the Blast Syndicate. Plus, a few other shows that weren't on the ring are also involved in that. So just to give you the rundown, of course, Inside Metal with Bob Nalbandian is on there, as well as Iron City Rocks, Mars Attacks, and Radioactive Metal, and Brazil's own Wiki Metal. All those guys were with us on the Cast Iron Ring. But adding to that is Neckbreaker, as well as Metal Geeks and the MSR cast. Those guys are also involved in the Blast Syndicate. So lots of good metal content to be had on the Blast Syndicate. And you can get blasted at blastsyndicate.com. And then also a reminder that another spinoff from all of this metal goodness is earpeeler.com, which aggregates a lot of rock and metal podcasts, both audio and video, all in one convenient spot. So you can go to earpeeler.com and keep up with a whole ton of shows. So hope you guys enjoyed this one this week. Richie really was trying to make it down, but just a lot of schedule conflicts, couldn't get down here. So left it up to me to take the helm and bring this one around. He's hoping to be able to get back down here in the studio sometime in the next week, because he's got some other interviews he'd like to do. So hopefully you'll be hearing Richie's Irish accent very shortly back again on the airwaves right here on Focus on Metal. But in the meantime, holy shit, I have got some great stuff on the way for you here, and I am totally looking forward to bringing it to you. In the meantime, though, you can keep up with us as usual at focusonmetal.net, as well as focusonmetal.blogspot.com. If you want, you can always subscribe to the show on iTunes. We have two iTunes feeds out there. That always helps us show out a lot if we get those subscription numbers up. And of course, you know, you can always give Richie a shout out on Facebook, and I am always on Twitter. So that is a wrap for this week. I got a couple of hungry Jack Russells here looking at me going, damn it, shut your mouth, get down here and feed us. So with that, for Richie, for myself, and everybody else here on Focus on Metal, have yourselves a good metal week. And until we talk to you again next week, remember,
Focus on Metal!
Everything else is insignificant.
Still here? It's over. Go home.